Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. The most iconic auto racing pastime of any year, the Indianapolis 500, happened Sunday afternoon. 42 years ago, Janet Guthrie became the first woman to compete in that race. What led to that accomplishment, and few women doing likewise since? ESPN's award-winning 30 for 30 series explores this situation Tuesday night with Qualified. And producer Carolyn Waterlow joins me next, live from Nashville. The first ever Omnicultural TV Fest came off earlier this month. More than 2,000 people showed up in Los Angeles, and 70-plus series pilots and contests were showcased. We'll learn the aftermath from organizer Kiki Melendez and Fest winner Cindy Chu next half hour. Also ahead, new ghost tales in Hulu, Adam exits The Voice, our classic trivia question, and a trio of up items. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you today by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get three free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy Friday before Memorial Day weekend 2019 to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 33 episodes within this week. We have a super hour in store for you, people from all over the place as guests, and you involved wherever you are. So pick up the phone if you have a question or comment for our guests, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And our other way to get involved is our chat room. We already have one person in the room already. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Speaker screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. 72 beautiful degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and 30 for 30 producer Carolyn Waterlow joins us live from Nashville after these news notes. Hulu is going ahead with an anthology series based on the story collection North American Lake Monsters by Nathan Bonegood. Each episode will deal with someone or some people's encounter with gothic beings. 8 episodes will be overseen by preacher producer Mary Laws, who will also serve as the head writer. Maroon 5 lead person Adam Levine will wrap his tenure as one of the coaches on The Voice. Levine announced his decision via Instagram this morning, saying it was time to move on. That's his words. After 8 years on The Voice, Levine will turn his role there over to Gwen Stefani, who has served as coach and contestant advisor in previous seasons. Hey Blinders creator Stephen Wright will team with End of All Shine for a World War II drama based on the formation of British Special Forces. No word yet will distribute this series. Julia Stiles will move ahead with the 3rd season of Riviera, the glitzy adventure series filmed on location in France. Stiles will start work on new episodes this fall, again as star and executive producer. Ovation is currently playing the episodes of season 1. And FX is developing an adaptation of Freshwater, the award-nominated first novel by Enrique Emezi, about a college student from Nigeria with 3 spirits inside her brain. Emezi will adapt and executive produce this venture. And that is news notes for today. The granddaddy of auto races, no matter what type of auto race you love, happens this Sunday afternoon. It's the Indianapolis 500. And for the first time, by the way, the race will not be on ABC, where it's been on for decades in some manner, but on NBC, with pre-race coverage on NBC and NBC Sports Network. However, this is also a very special time because ESPN's award-winning series 30 for 30 will be presenting its latest episode about the Indy 500 and one of the most momentous moments in the history of that race. Janet Guthrie becoming the first woman 42 years ago to qualify for that race. Why has she been one of the few people to qualify? And why have a few people qualified not just for that auto race, but for any auto race of any kind? Well, that subject is explored in the latest 30 for 30 episode on Tuesday night called Qualified. And joining us live from Nashville, where she's spending the Memorial Day weekend with her family, is the producer, Carolyn Waterlow. Caroline, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting.
It's a pleasure. Why did you decide to do this special?
I've done other sports documentaries, and I had done a film for ESPN a couple of years ago called OJ Made in America, and I'm very intrigued with, so I had a relationship with ESPN and wanted to pitch this story to them when Jenna Ricker, the director, brought my attention to it, and she was very passionate about it. And, you know, I mean, sports documentaries have – I've worked on several. I love them. I think you don't have to be an aficionado of the particular sport to get engaged by one of these stories. They just have all this human drama built into them. And I think in American culture, the sports world is where we see a lot of things play out in our society. And they sort of – it's like a microcosm of a larger – our larger culture. And you know, I've had not done anything about a female athlete, and so I was particularly interested in that. And when Jenna found the book about Janet, she wrote a really excellent autobiography. And, you know, we were all just kind of stunned that we just hadn't heard of her. And we're people who we like to think of ourselves as sort of knowing these kinds of important firsts and knowing a bit about sports history. And we just were kind of appalled that we didn't know her story, and we thought that it needed to be told.
And by the way, Carol, I congratulate you and everybody who was involved with O.J. Made in America. It was an extraordinary miniseries for ESPN, won all sorts of awards, Emmys, Peabody's, Oscars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So congratulations to you on a great job with that project.
Thank you.
When people think about Janet Guthrie, does she come across as someone who, before we ever heard the term gender identity or gender barrier, mm-hmm. was a major figure in the history of the Indianapolis 500? Or do they think of her as an afterthought?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, she, you know, clearly the archival material that we unearthed, and we actually found tons of it, and more than we ever dreamed, actually, and some really excellent. I mean, the film is almost 80% made of archival footage, so you can actually see these things happening, you know, in the time they were happening, 76, 77, 78. And so, you know, at the time, it definitely, you know, was a big deal. And so that's always interesting when you make these films to see that in 40 years or 30 years, it gets sort of lost or buried or forgotten. And why is that, you know, and who's doing the storytelling and who's making us pay attention to these things is always fascinating when I delve into a historic project in particular. So it was clearly a big deal at the time. And, but, you know, there just haven't been that many women. I mean, there was, took 15 years from the time she first qualified to have another woman. So that's a generation, essentially. And so when you have those kinds of big gaps, it's hard to keep the story kind of alive and to keep it, you know, keep the momentum going. And, you know, I think there's a lot of different reasons for that, and we can talk about those if you'd like to, in terms of, you know, just the financing that all athletes need, sponsorships, endorsements, that kind of thing. And she really, really struggled, and I think a lot of women athletes still to this day struggle with this.
Well, let's get that in a little bit, Carolyn. Is why 42 years after this important achievement, is it still a problem for women, whether it's Danica Patrick, whether it's whoever, mm-hmm. to qualify for, whether it's an Indy 500 or a NASCAR race or a dirt track race,
mm-hmm.
it's like you can say, if you know, the female athletes who are in this sport still on one hand.
Right.
It's amazing. This is 42 years after what Janet Guthrie did.
Yeah, absolutely. And this year there's one woman who qualified who will be racing, Pippa Mann, and which is amazing. And here we are in, you know, 2019, and it hasn't really changed since Janet's year. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons. And I think, look, part of it is that you need, it's a sport that needs a lot of money, and you have to have cars and lots of backup cars and a team of mechanics, and you have to practice, and you have to do a full circuit of the year of races. And if you don't have the backing for that, you're never going to get, you know, you're not going to, you need to try every track. You need to race in all kinds of conditions. If you're going to be an expert in something, you have to work hard at it, practice, sit a lot. And if you don't have the backing and financially to be able to do that, it's really, really, you know, challenging. And so, you know, if we're going to talk about women winning these things, well, if you're going to have one woman and 32 men in a race, it's hard, you know. so, you know, the numbers are just not there. And so I think that's, you know, I think that's a big part of it. And what is so fascinating about women racing is, and that we were intrigued with when we started, you know, thinking about doing this film, is that when you watch a race, you have no idea who's a man or a woman. You know, everyone's in a car with a helmet. And so it's kind of a fascinating sport in that sense, in that it is not divided. And there isn't a women's circuit and a men's circuit. And there isn't, you know. So the fact that they're all on the same track and they're – you know, and you can't even tell when you're watching it, is just kind of an interesting element that we were all intrigued with.
The name of the program is 30 for 30 Qualified. It's about Janet Jeffries' achievement as the first woman to break in the ranks of qualified people for the Indianapolis 500, whose latest edition will be happening this Sunday at noon on NBC. Caroline is the producer of this 30 for 30 episode. It's on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on ESPN, and she's with us live from Nashville, Tennessee this half hour on Tomorrow Televised. If you have a question or comment for her, be interactive with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, Rob's a great account that's televised. Coming up Tuesday, that's right, Tuesday, we usually on Monday, but Tuesday because of Memorial Day weekend, we'll focus on a brand new series called Family Style. It is part of Stage 13. That's the digital programming service of Warner Brothers, and it'll be premiering later this month on Facebook Watch. We will have the producer of the series, Marie Demora, and we'll have the head of unscripted television at Stage 13, Sharon Scora. That's coming up Tuesday at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. Once you got into the project, Caroline, how easy was it to get the archival footage, especially since, obviously, the relationship with ESPN and ABC, I'm sure you had, obviously, access to ABC's race coverage, their commentators, and so forth.
Exactly. That's correct. We knew, I mean, and in terms of talking to ESPN about making the film, we knew that one of the great benefits was that, yes, they are kind of sister networks with ABC and ESPN, and they had been doing the coverage of the race for decades, and so we knew there was going to be a certain amount of footage there. And then we just kept digging and found a lot of real gems that we didn't anticipate initially and were thrilled to find, and so the film did take on more heavily of an archival style to it because we found such good stuff. And I will add that one of the producers on the film is Nina Kristic, who was the archival producer on the O.J. film, which, if you did see that, had also some kind of amazing archival material that we unearthed. And so, I mean, with, you know, Janet herself and her family, her brother, had Super 8s and home movies. Her family had come to some of the, you know, the big indie races. And so there was some great personal material that she had, as well as her early life racing sports cars before she, you know, took her crack at Indy, and her kind of growing up life, which is also just, she's a fascinating character in that sense. She was an aeronautics engineer. She was a pilot. She, you know, so all of this stuff, she had great material personally to support. And then we also dug around, and, you know, there's always people who are real experts and lovers of the sport who collect things, and think goodness for them, salvaging things and buying things and collecting things. So we found several private collections that people had some great material. And so we, you know, we went far and wide, and we really did find a lot of really great-looking stuff.
Mm-hmm. What was the biggest revelation for you and everybody on the crew in putting this together about either Guthrie as a person or the race and its attitude toward having women drivers?
Well, I think it was, Indy, for example, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, you know, women were actually not even allowed in the pits until, I think, 1972. And that was because a female journalist sued the track to say that she, you know, she couldn't get the story, she couldn't do her job because she couldn't get to where the drivers were to talk to them. And so that was, you know, I mean, it's a place of tradition and history and great ritual, and so, you know, those kinds of environments are always amazing when somebody wants to make a change and somebody, you know, wants to be a first. So that was kind of fascinating to me, and about the kind of culture of the place, and which was also a lot like, like the rest of America at that time in the early, you know, in the 70s. And, you know, but Janet herself is just a fascinating character. I mean, she has this incredible, she's kind of unflappable. As I said, she was an engineer. She had been a pilot. She actually jumped out of a plane when she was 16 years old. And, you know, you see a person like that with that kind of, you know, great tenaciousness and tenacity and great sense of fearlessness and but incredibly kind of sensible and focused, and you know, that's probably why she was the one who was the first. I mean, I'm always fascinated with, you know, why is this person, what attributes does this person have that makes them, you know, able to be that first person and sort of carry the weight of that with them, and I think it's clear, hopefully the film tells you that, you see that, that is why she was the first, because she was able to sort of focus and not let the detractors and not let the, you know, people heckling her and not let that get to her, and just be able to, you know, just rely on her great skill and have confidence in that in herself. And it's really inspiring to watch.
I remember watching that race on ABC back in 1977. I remember that the scenes of her getting ready to get in the car, the scenes of her in the car with her crew, she came off as this very calm, cool, collected, I know what I'm doing, I belong with anybody else's race. Was she as fearless as it looked when we were watching her live?
Absolutely. I mean, she does talk about how, I think, you know, she's actually quite a shy person. And so, you know, having to kind of get out there and sell yourself and try to get sponsorship and that sort of business side of it, she did not love. She just wanted to get on the track, you know. So she had to kind of make herself do some of the press stuff and the PR stuff because she had to. And she does it really beautifully, but she talks about how, you know, it was not her natural kind of state. So she, to have to be sort of a salesman in that sense. And, but she absolutely has this incredible, bearing about her. She's very graceful. She's very, elegant. And she, you know, and when it came to her racing, she had total faith in her skill. And she just, you know, felt the whole time, like, if I get the right equipment, I can make it, I'll, you know, I can win, I can make it go. And that's the other thing she's constantly dealing with, which is impressive, is, and maintaining her calm and collectiveness, as you say, at the time. You know, she's not got the best equipment, and so she's constantly having to struggle with that. And somehow she still succeeds in incredible ways, even with, you know, crappy cars that other drivers, famous drivers, would say to her, like, I wouldn't, you know, A.J. Foyt apparently said to her, like, I'd never even sit in that car, you know? So yeah, she has just this incredible resolve and focus, and against all odds, she just, you know, she does it.
It sounded, Caroline, like she had at that time, so the auto version of the Cane Muni. I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Humphrey Bogart, you know, the ship, the Cane Muni, which was sort of like a sort of sloppy ship that had to be righted by the crew with Bogart.
Absolutely.
And we wrote. Now, like, that was the case with Guthrie, that she was like starting to be the steady person in what was a very tough, like the worst kind of car you could get on that track.
I mean, she had, you know, the year she came in top 10, she did have a, you know, she had a the best car, I think she felt she'd had, and she was, you know, she drove for kind of a scrappier team initially, and this, you know, famous team owner, Rolla Volstead, who was the person who kind of sought her out to try and give her this opportunity, and yeah, so she was, you know, she wasn't driving for these kind of big moneyed teams. And in fact, she herself has to put her team together in 78 herself. And she gets some money from Texaco to do that. And yeah, so, I mean, she's dealing with so many variables. Like, it's not even just about the driving. She's got to manage all these other variables as well, which, you know, I think a lot of women can relate to the multitasking nature of that.
Was it easy to, if Guthrie is still alive, was it easy to track her down, to track her family down, track her pit crew down, her fellow drivers, to get current interviews?
Yeah, I mean, Jenna Ricker, the director, who's done a really brilliant job with the film, who was someone I had not worked with before, and we had a mutual friend and one of our fellow producers, and we all came together, and, you know, she did an amazing job. I mean, she was sort of sending, I mean, she found Janet's email, and she was kind of sending her emails for months with no response, and then she literally, you know, called 411 and got her number. She lives in Aspen, and you know, called her up, and when Janet finally did pick up the phone, she knew who Jenna was because she had received the emails, and you know, she was, it took a while to convince her to participate, you know, to do the film, because I think, you know, it's a while ago that this happened. She wrote her book probably, if, you know, 10 years ago, or she spent about 10 years writing her book. She, you know, I think other people have approached her about things, and they didn't always work out. And, you know, so I think she was wary, and we were just really persistent with her and really wanted her to, you know, we really felt like we were the right people to tell the story because we were passionate about it. And we had, you know, I had this relationship with ESPN, so I really felt like, we could get this done and that she'd be happy with it. And so, so she took quite a lot of convincing, but she, thank goodness, decided to let us, you know, into her life and tell the story, which we're thrilled about. And, yeah, I mean, her, just get on the internet and get on the phone and track down, you know, various team members and mechanics and chief mechanics and people she had worked with in both NASCAR and Indy. And, and I'm glad that we got the story while everybody, you know, can tell, so we can all be told from a first-person point of view. That's always the best way to do a documentary.
Karen Warlow is the producer of Qualified, the latest episode of ESPN's award-winning series 30 for 30. It's on Tuesday nights. This coming Tuesday night, that's the night after Memorial Day weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. You join us live from Nashville, Tennessee. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. Tom and Adam will be live from New York, where it is now a beautiful 72 degrees here in the metro area. If you have a question or comment, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Earlier today, Netflix premiered its latest original and very unusual drama called What/If, with Renee Zellweger, the Oscar-nominated actress, in her first major starring role in television. Next week on Tomorrow Be Televised, Friday to be exact, we will have the executive producer and writer and showrunner of What If. You know him from Revenge on ABC. Mike Kelly will be with us. And we'll also have the senior reporter of Cheddar, formerly CNBC, Michelle Castillo, will be with us. We'll talk to her about where things are at with Apple and Walmart and Warner Media and other folks who want to get into the big original programming game with their new streaming services on smart TV sets and smart TV devices between now and early next year. That's Mike Kelly from What/If on Netflix and Michelle Castillo from Cheddar. They're both with us 1 week from today, 3:30 New Pacific right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What is life like for Guthrie now? And what, looking back, what did she think about her experience?
Well, she, she lives a lovely life in Colorado, and she does, you know, recently she, I think in the last few years, she started going back to Indy. She talks in the film about how she kind of didn't go for a long time, and I think it was, you know, it was a bittersweet thing at the end when she just felt like she couldn't carry on because she couldn't get the sponsorship she needed to do so. So I think she took a break, but now she's, you know, we were actually filming with her at Indy last year when she was signing autographs and doing kind of old-timer autograph signings, and I think, and there's just tremendous respect and admiration and love for her amongst all the sort of alumni, Indy alumni, I guess you could call them. Everybody had, you know, kind of great things to say about her and just how much respect they had for her. And I think, you know, she and us making it all feel like, you know, and I've said this about other historical docs, but, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like sometimes, you know, in many ways, there's been progress, but the fact that there's only ever been 9 women total who have driven at Indy is kind of shocking. And so I think she feels, grateful that she got the opportunities, and she says she made the best of them. And she feels that, you know, she definitely could have done more had she had more backing and better equipment. But she really takes the role of, you know, she says in the film also that she, you know, she wasn't really, I guess she wouldn't have called herself a feminist at the time. She wasn't, you know, a card-carrying feminist. And, but has come to realize that this is an important, that she is a role model for a lot of women, and she takes that seriously and really feels the responsibility of that and does want to be, encouraging and helpful and sort of and a leader and role model in that sense.
Over and over again, you've said that the big issue with Guthrie was not her auto racing skill. It was the environment around her, the inability to get sponsors, the inability to get a great crew together, and so on and so forth. Does she feel that the scene has changed or transformed to some degree that somewhere down the road, as you mentioned earlier, there is going to be a woman who's going to be racing this weekend at Indy, that somewhere down the line, some woman is going to at least be a top 5 finisher and maybe ultimately be the winner at Indy?
Oh, it'll definitely happen. There's no question in my mind it'll happen. There is still a business side to the sport, as with all sports. And somebody along the way, I think, said to us something like, you know, people want to back a winner and a woman's never won. So... So that's, you know, there's just more work to be done. And I think young women drivers who start to be racers who start to be interested in the sport and, you know, have to just, there has to be that right encouragement at the right time and not feel that they necessarily have to make choices where it has to be their career or something else. And I mean, it's obviously a hard life, you know, you're on the road a lot and it's pretty tough sport. I mean, physically it's obviously very challenging and you're on these hot tracks and, you know, it's so, you know, when there's a young woman driver who loves it, you know, there just has to be the right infrastructure to support them and help them advance.
Qualified. The story of Janet Guthrie, who 42 years ago broke the gender barrier by being the first woman to qualify for the Indianapolis 500, a race that will be held this Sunday afternoon. Qualified is the latest episode of the award-winning ESPN series for 30 for 30. If you've never seen this series before, make sure to do so. It's one of the very best series of its kind on television, all of television. And this episode will be running this Tuesday night, night after Memorial Day weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on ESPN. Check your local listings for where ESPN is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, you can go to www.espngo.com. It's www.espn or espntote.com. I'm sure in some way will also get its way to the ESPN app as well as ESPN Plus. And don't forget, the latest running of the Indianapolis 500 will be noon Sunday Eastern Time on NBC. Check your local listings for when it will run in your area. And for more details, NBCSports.com. Pre-race coverage on NBC Sports Network all weekend long. Carolyn Warnelow, the producer, with everyone in the crew on 30 for 30 Qualified. Thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Good luck with this ESPN 30 for 30 episode. I think it's going to be a winner. And thank you and Jen and everybody in the crew for bringing this story to light. It's a story that's well-deserved and should be told well.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope people enjoy it and appreciate the wonder that is Janet Guthrie.
Absolutely. She is a wonder and a great role model for so many people, not just in auto racing, but in all sports, too. Carolyn, take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too. Carolyn Warlow, the producer of Qualified, joining us live from Nashville, Tennessee. More tomorrow. We tell live coming away, but first, some more from the fine folks at Audible.com. For you Dean Koontz fans out there, he's got a brand-new audiobook available that you can get with a one-month trial to Audible.com. It's called Watchers. It's about a man and his dog, and the dog is not so friendly when this man goes into that dog's domain. You have to read it to see it or hear it, and you can through a trial run with Audible.com. Watchers by Dean Koontz, one of the best writers around. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They can transform the way you hear the world. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including wherever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or iHeartRadio. And don't forget, among that 180,000 titles is the growing catalog of Audible Originals. It's one man and one woman shows. It's Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater productions, and original audio material made especially for Audible.com. And don't forget, with your trial run, you get not one, not two, but three free audiobooks and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that trial run, 1 month, free audiobooks for you, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Before we reach the bottom of the hour, let's give you our classic trivia question of the week. We've been posing the question since the last two shows, starting this past Monday. We have two prizes for your best-selling books. One is Gentleman Jack, The Real Ann Lister by Ann Schumer, with a foreword by Sally Wainwright, the creative executive producer of that HBO miniseries. We have more about that miniseries coming your way before the top of the hour. And there's Delta Dash 5, which is by the popular author Daniel Suarez. And they can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the town where the Walking Dead governor character came from. Name the town where the Walking Dead governor character came from. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your email and your mailing address. So if you win the contest, you get the prizes your way post-haste. And if you missed the question a moment ago, don't worry, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook, and we'll, if you need to, we'll post it throughout the Memorial Day weekend. That's at Facebook and at Twitter, at UBC Simon TWBT. UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, be in there. And all the very best. When we come back, the recent Omnicultural TV Festival was a big success. More than 2,000 people, seeing more than 70-plus series pilots, and projects, all by people of color. We will have the organizer, Kiki Blandis, joining us live from Los Angeles. And here in New York, I'll be joined by one of the Fest winners, Cindy Chu from Queens, with a comedy about Queens. We'll get to both of them, and we'll have an up segment for you. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Remember, VTalk Speaker, your home for CUTV News Radio. Next episode, Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific. That's CUTV News Radio. Check it out Tuesday and other times as well, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And the best of both services 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, our special pre-Memorial Day weekend hour for 2019. Sound out when we be live from New York, 72 degrees at the top of the hour. More great guests coming away in the half hour ahead. We invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, phone call from you. So dial in at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Nearly 3 years ago, one of my next guests put together a festival of pilots for television series, all produced by or featuring people of color. It was done here in New York, and it did quite well. And she decided, well, I'm going to take it to Los Angeles, which she did. But now, nearly 3 years later, she has put together a whole festival, a one-day festival that took place earlier this month in Los Angeles, the first ever Omnicultural TV Festival produced in association with NAPI, the programming organization. And more than 2,000 people came with more than 70-plus pilots and projects showcased. Joining us live from Los Angeles, interview exclusive, the founder of Latin Hollywood Films, back with us for the second time, our good friend Kiki Melendez. Hi, Kiki.
Hello. How are you? Thank you for having us.
It is a pleasure. And joining both of us live from Queens, New York, is the person who won the Best Comedy Pilot Award at the Fest for a pilot, which was all about her borough, called Queens. And that's where we find Cindy Chu. Cindy, great to have you here.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Kiki, first of all, give us the follow-through on the festival. How to do and what's been the results ever since?
It was actually better than I ever imagined. I always knew there was a good idea because so many people have television, you know, projects, and they don't get a chance to really showcase them. There's hundreds of film festivals, but there aren't that many that focus on television ideas. So I kind of knew it was a good, you know, it would be good, but I didn't think it would be as good. Everybody really supported it. The industry was there. It was at the Egyptian Theater in the heart of Hollywood. The filmmakers came from all over the world, from New York and from, you know, Europe. There were people, like, walking in with their suitcases from, like, straight from the airport. It was amazing that they would come for a one-day event. And the selections were really well received. The industry said that the programming was above average, you know. So we were very proud. We were very proud because everybody left really happy, and NATPE announced, to my surprise, that, you know, we're doing it next year. This is an absolute, you know, winner. So we're very excited because now we get, now everyone gets an opportunity to submit. We're going to open submissions on June 30th, and I'll be back in New York letting my New York people know about it. That's how I found Queens. Last time I went to New York to do a press conference for the festival, Cindy was at the press conference, and she submitted her project, and she won, you know. So it doesn't matter where you're from. Everybody gets to be judged under their category. There are 11 categories, and so it was really great.
Cindy, how did you come up with the idea for Queens, and had you tried to take it to some of the television festivals happening around the country before you landed with Omnicultural?
Yeah, so Queens was inspired because I was born and raised in Queens, and the characters are inspired by my childhood best friends. We're all Asian American women, but different diasporas. One was Korean, but she was born in Bolivia, and she spoke fluent Spanish. The other one was half Taiwanese, half European, and one, for me, I was Taiwanese American. And so there wasn't any shows that are like this or had women, of Asian American women starring and being showing them as regular people and as friends. So we actually premiered at Omnicultural TV Fest. That was our world premiere, so we're really excited about it. We actually shot it a whole year ago, so we were really honored to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. And give us a sense of what the pilot is about, and what was it like to be in the thick of putting it together?
Yeah, so the show is a brash comedy about Queens native Sarah, Gia, and Kim, and they're struggling accepting that adulting isn't what their immigrant parents taught them it'd be, and they quickly learn that relationship goals and career achievements don't necessarily equate to success, and they experience the complicated intersections of being first and second generation Asian Americans. It was really, when we shot it, it was about 5 days. We had 3 principal days and then 2 days for reshoots. And we had to film 2 more scenes. It was really hectic. It took 2 months of pre-production. And then because we had to do reshoots, so the editing post-production took a little bit longer. So that was maybe like 2-3 months. But everyone was great. I met my director, producer, Nicole Gomez-Fisher, through Facebook, and she's been such a great support and like a partner in this, and I'm really proud of the work that everyone's done.
Well, I welcome 2 listeners into our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard on this Friday before Memorial Day weekend. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Kiki, one of the things that really legitimized your festival was NAPI's involvement. NAPI is one of the key trade associations in the TV industry. How did they get involved? Were they involved right from the start, or was it something that you pitched them and then they decided, let's be part of this?
Well, NAPI is the National Association of Television Program Executives, so it's all the executives that buy programming, and so they meet like once a year, and the whole world comes to buy and sell TV shows to each other. And this happens usually in Miami. They used to do it in Vegas every year. They also do it in Europe. And so it's an organization of television programming executives. And so when I started to sell my shows, I have put some shows on the air like Kikimobio on FYI Network. So I went to the conference to sell my show internationally. And they were like, wow, you're an independent producer that got a show on the air. And, you know, you're kind of like the face of the independent producer. And we want to reach that community. We want to give them an opportunity to showcase their work to the buyers. And so that's how it all started, when they started saying, you know, we want to create a platform to showcase new work, especially for the multiculture. So that's how it all began, and I gave them the idea. I said, listen, I've done this for my own company. Like you said before, Simon, I was on your radio show when I went to New York, when I did it for my own company. It was called the Latin Hollywood Film Upfront, and that's where I sold Kikimobile. So I kind of said, you know, I've done this for my company. What if I did it for a lot of people, like everybody that had a show idea? So they loved it, and that's how they signed on.
Mm-hmm.
They became my partner.
Kiki, how were the pilots picked?
We had curators, so we had some people in the business and people that worked in festivals before, so they looked at all the submissions, and then after they looked at all the submissions, they would say, okay, this is what we chose, and then I would go through all the submissions and, you know, basically kind of curate it again. And then after it was curated and we had our final selections, then we sent it to the judges to basically pick the winner for each category. And so it was a lot of curation, because we wanted to make sure that the industry, you know, got to see the best of the best, so that they would be impressed and they would, you know, and the festival would have integrity. So we basically made sure that the selections were professionally done, that they were, you know, marketable for the industry. And we wanted to make sure that they would impress the industry, because that was part of, you know, making the festival a success, was the industry respecting these emerging producers. And we accomplished that, which is great. We have a 5-star rating in the festival circuit right now, you know, so that is pretty good for our first year, you know?
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Kiki Melendez, the entrepreneur behind the first ever Omnicultural TV Fest, took place earlier this month at NAPI in with NAPI support in Los Angeles. Some other people supported them as well. We'll talk about those in our next segment. And also joining us is Cindy Chu. She was the winner of the Best Comedy Pilot for Queens, which was shot in her home borough, Queens, in New Weber, York. And both of them are joining us live from New York and L.A. We've got an East Coast-West Coast connection happening right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon and Apple, we're live from New York, where it is now 72 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guests? Don't be shy. Make the phone call. Be interactive with us. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Remember, coming up next Tuesday on our program, next week we'll be with you Tuesday and Friday, we will have the people behind the brand-new Facebook Live series, Family Style, which you can find on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. It's a new unscripted program from Stage 13, the digital programming service of Warner Brothers. We will have the producer of the series, Marie Jamar, and we will have the head of Unscripted at Stage 13, Shari Skorka. That's all coming up Tuesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Televised. By the way, coming up before the top of the hour, we're going to tell you about a big development that took place yesterday that may involve some of the pilots that were showcased at Kiki's Festival. Kiki, you had a lot of interesting people there. You had people from Nickelodeon. You had, of course, people from NAPI. You had people from the Naked Republic, Maverick Entertainment. Are any of them going to be committed to running some of these pilots or giving these people program development deals?
Well, so far, the Disney development requested 3 projects from the festival. Maverick requested to start speaking to 3 different filmmakers, about working on their projects and trying to distribute their projects. And one of my projects also got an agent, a literary agent, Abrams Artist. So definitely it was very successful having Viacom there, having, distribution platforms there. And they already started, asking me, hey, I want to, for example, one of the representatives from Bravo asked for the reality show that won. They asked me to send them all the information on the reality show that was the winner. So, definitely things are moving, quickly and they're moving forward. So I'm basically the conduit where if the network or the distributor asked me for something they saw that they liked, I, am here to forward it. The festival does not get any percentage on the projects. We just want to make sure that we connect them so that they can actually make it happen, And that way the festival will win too,
Yeah. Were there any reps from the likes of Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, CBS All Access,
we had
Apple and so forth? They're also starting up soon.
Yeah, actually, Amazon, the head of Amazon Global Diversity and Inclusion, her name was Latasha Gillespie. She actually won the Corporate Responsibility Award at our award show. She was there supporting. We had incredible panels that included network executives from A&E, Lifetime. We had people from, just about, a lot of distributors, global distribution, digital platforms. Viacom sent 10 representatives. So, yeah, we had all that. We had a whole morning of panels where the filmmakers can get a whole bunch of great, information on directing for television, writing for television, selling, developing, programming, all that kind of stuff. All the panels were packed all day long, and the filmmakers really felt like they got something really great out of it. And the great thing is that all the executives were really open and really willing to help the filmmakers and talk to them. And so that was really great. Everybody was really happy to be there. And one of our judges, Peter Engel, got the Lifetime Achievement Award. He created Saved by the Bell, Last Comic Standing, and many, many shows. And he made a lot of stars like Mario Lopez and a whole bunch of diverse stars. So he got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and he was also a judge for the festival. And Cindy, you could take it from there. Remember what he said about you.
Yeah, he gave us a shout out on stage about how impressed he was with our pilot, and it felt so special to me because I grew up watching Saved by the Bell and California Dream, so it was just really crazy to hear. I was really, happy to hear it.
Yeah, Peter was on our program several years ago, and also should be pointed out that in addition to Peter, that Mario Lopez has just sold a new series to Netflix, a family comedy series that will be going into production probably this summer or the fall.
Yes, there's a lot of diversity going on, a lot of great projects that are being picked up by the networks. Starz has a Latin project, and there's one coming out with Eva Longoria on ABC, and now Mario. There's a lot of great things. There's a lot of great things happening in Hollywood for diversity, so we are in the right timing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Cindy, anybody interested now? You've had a few weeks now since the festival. Has anybody come to you from anywhere to say, hey, let's turn Queens into a series?
It's been a slow-moving process, but he's been such a great champion of ours and trying to make as many connections as we can, but it's a long process, so we're still waiting to see.
Yeah, even the most powerful people in the business, it takes a while, to get a show on the air. It's not like, oh, yeah, I'm going to show it, and then tomorrow I'm going to have it on the air. It's a process. And the great thing is to let the industry know that you are a creator, that you can come up with ideas, that you have put it together, and then you basically are in their radar, and they start to say, wow, there's different projects that, like I said, were requested, and in one case, there was a girl that got a job out of it. It wasn't her project that got it, but she herself got a gig that she's negotiating now because of the festival.
Another person, by the way, just got into our chat room, and we thank you for doing that. So if you have a question or comment for our guests, Kiki and Cindy, ring it in, 646-652-296, or put it in the room. So you do, so we'll address it. Instead, I want to also give you some of the other series pilot winners from the fest. For drama, it was Xenos. For talk, Running the Street, Animation Attention, Student Made. That's right. There was a category for Student Made pilots, and that one went to Jade. And finally, for a foreign language or other language than English, the winner was Ruth con Diana, or Ruth
Enruta,
with Diana.
Enruta con Diana.
Ruta. Not that. Ruta con Diana. There's my Spanish there, too. Lynn Ong, who is a Twitter consultant that covers the world of diversity on television, was on our program on Wednesday, and she suggested that we are on the road now toward not just diversity on television in a lot of ways, but also this whole idea of omnicultural television, where it goes beyond just people of color. It goes to people of different gender backgrounds, the gay, lesbian, transgender community, bisexual, and also people in the able, disabled community. Kiki, is that something you're looking at in terms of, let's say, for the next one in 2020, to open up the pipeline to people in those communities?
Well, if you watched our winners video, we covered all of that. One of the winners, To Be Me, was about a transgender. It's about a boy who loses his mom. He goes back home to his dad, and he is having a hard time trying to tell his dad that he's a transgender, and it's called To Be Me, and it was one of the winners. So that is the entire reason that I called it Omni, for the exact same reason that you just mentioned, so that we can include everybody. We can include the white community, the Anglo. We can include the gay community. We can include all cultures. We can include languages. So that is why I called it Omni and not just the Latino, this or that. I wanted everyone to feel included. And if you look at our winners video that is on our website, you will see that it has been included. All those communities have been included, and they happen to have won in different categories. So you get a sense of all the different projects that were submitted.
Yeah. Cindy, what's been the reaction among Asian American filmmakers and TV makers in New York to what you've accomplished with the festival?
Everyone's been really supportive, which is great. And I'm trying to interview with Slanted Media. We have that coming up too. And so everyone has because we don't have as much representation, it's really just popping off now with Awkwafina and Constance Wu. So they're really proud and supportive of me and to see Asian Americans. And also within our pilot, we have different languages flowing around, like Taiwanese and Spanish. So it covers like more range than just being Asian American. It covers like, we try to give the full aspect of it as much as possible.
Yeah, you had a lot of support from the New York Women in Film. They were very excited, which they're also our partners. New York Women in Film and Women in Film in Los Angeles were also partners of the Omni. And we are going to do the Omni next year, so make sure to keep, follow us on all social media. Omnicultural TV Fest submissions open June 30th for new filmmakers for next year. So, it's going to continue. We're going to keep it growing and keep trying to make it bigger and bigger every year.
Incidentally, special news that we wanted to hold off for now for this interview is that the folks at Urban One, the people behind TV One and Cleo TV and so forth, announced yesterday that their digital vision has launched a new platform called A Space for Creators, which is going to showcase new TV series, new pilots, both scripted and unscripted, by the multicultural community. We don't know where this platform is running. If it is running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, we will invite the people from iOne Digital to be with us on the program. But I have to say, I think this is a great move on their part, and we'll see what happens. Again, if they decide to be on smart TV sets and smart devices either now or in the near future, we will feature them on this program. And I think it may be a very interesting, opportunity there for the winners of the Omnicultural TV Fest to maybe be part of Space for Creators. And again, if you want to know more about that project.
Yes, there's another one that I was just contacted about that is also Jeffrey Katzenberg is doing, and it's going to be another launching pad for new filmmakers. Everybody's on the bandwagon. They know there's a lot of great talent out there that is not being tapped into. And so definitely...
Is that Quibi, or is he doing something separate from Quibi? Quibi is the short
Quibi,
form features.
That one, yeah.
I did want to say, though, if you want more details. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kiki.
No, I'm saying we will be meeting with them, too, about, Omni and trying to do a partnership with them and all that kind of stuff.
And incidentally, if Quibi also is looking to be going beyond mobile and doing smart TV sets and smart devices, we will definitely invite Jeffrey's organization to come on the show. By the way, if you want to know more about the Space for Contact, Space for Creators project, here's an email you can use. Space for Creators at ION1, that's Sherpa Interactive One, digital.com. It's Space for Creators at iondigital.com or iondigital.com. Kiki, given the fact that you started this whole crusade here in New York over 3 years ago, is there any possibility of doing a similar event or something close here in New York before the year's out?
Yes, my goal is to do Omni in New York and then to do one here in L.A. So that is definitely in the works to be able to do it bi-yearly in each coast. That's my goal. There's a lot of creators in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They are really talented there. And I'm a New Yorker, so I have to do it for my people in New York.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility it'll happen this year, or are we going to wait until 2020?
We just finished the festival now, so I'm trying to assess the situation. I'm meeting with some of the sponsors, and I have calls from sponsors that didn't make it this year but want to be part of it next year. So I'm doing all these rounds of meetings, and then once I assess the situation, if they would sponsor both coasts, then I would probably be able to make that decision and start, the ball rolling in New York also.
Yeah. Cindy, before we go, what's next for you? Is it developing Queens as a series, or do you want to go forward and do another pilot?
So I have several things going on. For Queens, we're still working on developing it further and maybe possibly shooting the second episode. I have a feature script that I'm working on. It's a romantic drama, and it recently won a pitch competition featuring judges Baz Luhrmann and Jason Blum, and I also have another half-hour drama pilot that's in the second round consideration for Sundance Episodic Lab. So we'll see what happens.
Great deal. We've covered the Sundance Episodic Lab. They do wonderful work out there, and hopefully, who knows, might become a series down the road. If you want more details about Kiki's venture, here's where you go online. It's www.omniculturaltvfest.com. It's www.omniculturaltvfest.com. And if any of the pilots, by the way, from this first festival do become a series, we will invite the people behind those shows, the creators and producers, to come on this very program. And we'll also keep you posted about the possibility of doing a similar festival here in Nueva York. Kiki Melendez,
yes,
the organizer of this project, and Cindy Chu, the organizer of Queens, the Best Comedy Pilot winner. Thank you both for coming on. Cindy, all the best to you and what
Thank
you're doing.
You.
And Kiki, stay in touch. We'd love to have you back, and congratulations on a terrific event in L.A.
Thank you so much, Simon.
Thank
we
you
really
so much.
Love you, and thank you for all your support, and keep on growing, man. You're doing amazing, so thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome so much, Kiki and Cindy. Thank you, and we will keep on keeping on, as you are.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Simon.
We'll be letting you know. You'll be the first to know when we go to New York.
You got it. Have a sensational Wednesday weekend. Both of you take care.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kiki Melendez and Cindy Chu joining us from L.A. and New York, Queens specifically, respectively. Before we go, time for Up is an Update, where we catch up on guests and topics on this program. We have three items for you very quickly. On Monday, we brought you Sova Nani, the person behind the new Netflix series, It's Bruno, that urban man and dwarf story, which he put together from the Bushwick section of Brooklyn. Well, when we had him on Monday, he had about 300 Facebook followers. He now has nearly 2,000. So congratulations to Sovin for that. And once again, if you haven't heard, he is going to be working on a hip-hop musical with Will Smith that will be a feature film for Netflix down the road. Also, Gentleman Jack, we had the creator, executive producer of that HBO Monday Night series, mini-series from the BBC co-production, Sally Wainwright, on this program in late April. And we're delighted to tell you that yesterday, HBO and the BBC gave the go-ahead for a second season of Gentleman Jack that will come out in 2020. I have a hunch that the miniseries and the performances of Saran Jones and Sophie Rundle will both be nominated for Emmy Awards very, very soon. And finally, several years ago, back many years ago, we had an interview with Glenn Kessler and one of his colleagues when he was doing a little thing for FX called Damages, Glenn Close's first major role in television. It was one of FX milestone series. It was produced here in New York. It won a number of Emmy and first Peabody Awards, too. And when FX dropped the show, it also was picked up by DirecTV. It was also the first FX series and one of the few TV series that got a two-season renewal from a network. Well, Glenn now has a new deal with Amazon Studios. He will be doing the original series for that venture. So congratulations to Glenn about that. And by the way, his colleagues on Damages are now working on other things as well. We got to get running. We hope you have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. I want to remind you of the Music Express in this program, those of the participants, those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker and I are radio. Smart Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, an Amazon company, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For three free audio books, one of my trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But before we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Please, during the weekend, please think of the men and women who made the supreme sacrifice so we could have the nation and the world we want. Have them in your thoughts and their families this Memorial Day weekend. And make it safe and make it great. We're back on Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.